Here this morning. Find somebody that you don't recognize this morning. Introduce yourself and greet one another this morning.
I think several of you know about the Evangel hats that are several of our ladies in church have been making these. And for those of you that don't know, these hats go with the Jesus film, and they're used for salvation. And I think most of you maybe know this: black is for sin, and then the blood of Jesus, and then you're washed white as snow, and growth, and then heaven. And something that I thought that you might like to know, we've sent several of these. I'm not really sure on the number, but I'm sure that it's going to be with the next group that we have, and will be way over 100 that we've made. And it says, because you gave in 2013, I thought this was amazing statistics. And this is with the Jesus film. These things travel with the Jesus film. Over 2.5 million evangelistic contacts were made. 600,000 plus decisions were made to follow Jesus. And this is what I think is amazing. Over 5,100 preaching points were started. So I think that's really neat. And I feel I love to make these. And I think it's really neat to know that I kind of have a little part of that. And our church does too. And I just wanted to tell the ladies, we are sending several of these with our Work and Witness team to Ecuador. And I need all of you that are making these, I need them all in by next Sunday, because our team is going to be leaving for Ecuador that next week. So thank you for all of your help. And I would also like to dismiss the children for Children's Church right now.
If our ushers will come, we'll prepare to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Continue to remember Pastor Don and Ruth as they are ministering to their family, and should be back with us by next week. We're glad that you're here today, and trust that you'll have a wonderful time since God's presence, and indeed that He will bless you as we gather together today. Brother Troy, if you would, just come right on ahead and ask God to bless our offering this morning and receive my tithe.
And the freedom we enjoy, and we are grateful for it, but we're most thankful for the freedom from sin that Christ provided for us, and the day when our independence from Satan and the things that would destroy us have been taken care of by Christ. We thank you for this service, for every visitor and every friend who's here. We pray you'll bless the preaching and the word. May our hearts rejoice today as we hear from you. As we go out this week to serve you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing this?
Challenging couple of weeks that we have faced as a church family, and we have both mourned and celebrated the loss of some of our friends and church family, and you have done a wonderful job of ministering to one another, preparing food and sending cards and calling and just encouraging and supporting each other. I'm glad that God does not slumber or sleep. I'm glad that He is able to be there for us at all times. But we are not that way. Indeed, we live in these flawed bodies, and from time to time we grow weary, grow tired. And we have expended our emotions, and we have loved and cared, and you have just done a superb job. But as we approach this prayer time this morning, I'm reminded of that passage of Scripture, and I may refer to it again even in the message this morning, but I've just been thinking about this. As we approach this prayer time where indeed God stands, Jesus stands with open arms to us and says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I am thankful for supernatural rest that comes from God above. If you're here this morning and indeed you have a heavy heart and you just need a place to lay down burdens, these altars are open to you. If you're here this morning, and as we have on this holiday weekend observed our freedom as a nation, and we will talk about, and we have been thinking about, obviously, our freedoms as Christians, and you just want to lift up praise to God for His blessing in your life, these altars are open to you as well. As we sing together again in a moment, you feel free to come and find a place to kneel and pray. No one will bother you. No one will come to you. It'll just be your private place to lift up or lay down this morning, whatever the case might be for you. We want to continue to be mindful of the items that are within our bulletin. We continue to pray for those families who indeed have had losses, to pray for these who have been battling surgeries and various things. One thing in particular that we want to be mindful of this morning is that Pat Stevens's mother, Loretta Stiles, had her surgery, and the initial report was that she came through surgery well and everything was fine, but indeed Pat is with her today because there have been some complications and she's not doing so well. And so we want to remember and we want to lift up Loretta to the Lord this morning and ask for His intervention. We just talked about in our pastor's welcome class today with some of our new folks that indeed we as a church believe in the divine healing of the Almighty God. And so we pray that God indeed will touch and help and heal. Whatever the situations are in your life, our God is more than able. And so we encourage you as we sing this morning, if you have need, feel free to come and find a place at these altars, and then we'll lift our voices together in prayer.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Father, we are a blessed people. We have celebrated this past week, particularly the last couple of days, our great nation and the freedoms that you have endowed upon us. We are reminded that in order for those freedoms to be preserved, there have been many conflicts. There have been those who have paid the supreme price with the sacrifice of their lives. And Lord, we are reminded this morning that as we come with grateful hearts, that indeed you gave your life that we might know freedom from sin. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you indeed are here today and in presence in this service and in our hearts and lives, that you fill us to overflowing and that you indeed give us guidance and direction in order to negotiate this journey we call life. Father, we can never repay you. And we come as needy people, Lord. We come today and we are as a congregation, we are, to be quite honest, kind of physically and emotionally depleted. We have done our best to love and to serve in your name, and we have done our best to pull alongside and cry and to laugh with those who have gone through some very dark, challenging days. And Lord, we just thank you because this morning we indeed are here. We celebrate your holiness. And Lord, it is your strength that sustains us and pulls us through whatever challenges we face in life. And Lord, as sure as we go through some difficult and challenging times, we also rejoice with those that rejoice because we know there are things that have been good, Lord, along the way. For in the midst of this period of time, we have also received the report personally that our daughter is expecting a new baby. And so, Father, you are the giver and the taker of life. And Lord, you continue to do that which you set this earth into motion to do. And so, Lord, we submit to you. We yield to your authority. We admit that we don't know what to do sometimes. And so, Lord, we just count upon you. Help us, Father, today to be completely and unashamedly yielded to you. Help us to be willing to share the message of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives with those that we come in contact with. We pray, Father, that indeed the joy of Jesus would emanate out of our lives and spill over into the lives of those that we come in contact with, both known well by us and some who are total strangers. But Lord, may they see Jesus in us. We pray that our church will continue to be a lighthouse to this community. We pray, Father, that indeed that we will lift up Jesus and that he will continue to draw men and women and boys and girls into himself. We pray, Father, for these upcoming events that can be life changers for our children. We pray for our children's camps that are coming up here in another week. And indeed, Father, our VBS in about 3 weeks. And Lord, we pray for our Faith Family and Fun Day that we'll come together and reach out to our community with the carnival and car show. And Lord, we want to reach out. We want to indeed tell people about you. We want to try to get as many people as possible to know you and to be able to have the relationship that we have been able to enjoy. We thank you for your grace and mercy and for all that you do for us. Lord, we pray you'd continue to fill this place with your presence today. May everything we say and do honor and glorify you, and we'll give you the praise in the powerful and the precious name of Jesus Christ as you continue to touch and to heal. We love you. We thank you. And we praise you, and all God's people said, amen.
I chose a different song to sing this morning, but it just wasn't working out right. And I kept coming back to this one. It's a song that I play often, just in my own worship time with God. So, here we go.
I stand in awe of you. And everything you've done for me, you speak your words into my life, and where you are is where I wanna be. I stand before you, Lord, by the love you give away. A widow's might, my will and pride, it's all I have to offer anyway. I'm whole. I'm holding on. I just wanna be in your arms. I just wanna be in your arms. Moving ever closer to your heart, to your heart. I just wanna be in your arms. I just wanna be in your arms. Moving ever closer to your heart, to your heart. I just wanna be in your arms. I just wanna be in your arms. Moving ever closer to your heart, to
That's the kind of song you just kind of want to soak that message in. That really needs to be our attitude, to move ever closer to the heart of God. What more can you ask for? To be completely yielded to Him, to be completely open to His will. There is no greater place than the center of God's will. There is no greater place of peace. It is truly the most comfortable place in the world to know that you are in sync with the Savior, with His Spirit. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to John chapter 8. We indeed have spent the last probably 48 hours in some kinds of celebrations for our nation's independence and for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. And some of you have enjoyed food and fellowship and indeed set off some fireworks and had a great time. And we're just reminded through all of that that we have so much more than so many. We kind of get where we get a little grumpy once in a while. We kind of complain and we get a little frustrated with the political landscape at times. But we still, folks, live in the greatest nation in the world. And we are blessed to experience and enjoy what we experience and enjoy. I saw on the news again, and I don't remember all the specific places, but I watched just this past 2 days news clips about a great boatload of immigrants that were coming into the country. I saw pictures of multiple charter busloads of immigrants being moved from one location to another. And no matter how I feel specifically about all that's involved with immigration, the truth of the matter is everybody wants to be where we are. This is still the place where people believe that you can achieve your dreams. And certainly we are blessed to be called Americans and to enjoy those freedoms. But the truth of the matter is, as great as that is, everywhere in the world, no matter how oppressed you may be in any nation, every individual human being on the face of the earth has the opportunity to experience freedom in Christ. And sometimes that's the only freedom people have. There are people who are incarcerated unjustly. There are people who are oppressed by their governments. But no matter what the situation is in the temporal and secular realm, there is not a person on the face of this earth whom God has not extended to them the opportunity to enjoy freedom in Christ. And so we are grateful as a people today. And as we think about these various things in our history, these great moments, the pilgrims in 1620 coming for religious freedom, the Declaration of Independence in 1776, the Emancipation Proclamation of 1862, and Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech in 1963 that launched the civil rights movement and more of a sense of equality for all of God's people, no matter what color or race they may be. But as I think about the gift that God has extended to us this morning, I am reminded of a passage of Scripture in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, that reads like this: "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' And Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" It is my prayer this morning that every one of you who are here have experienced that freedom. That every person within earshot this morning indeed can say, "The Son has set me free." We all were born in the same predicament. And we have been set free from many things. There are a lot of people who maybe think that they indeed didn't need to be set free. There are a lot of people who think they live free. But a lot of people are not aware, indeed, of the bondage that they are under. It is my belief this morning that as we celebrate freedom, that we celebrate freedom from the penalty of sin. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We can turn a page or so to Romans 5, the first half of verse 19, and it tells us, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were made sinners." And we read in Romans 6, 23, indeed the first portion, "that the wages of sin is death," that we understand that every person in the history of the world, when they are born, is a sinner headed for hell. Now, that's not much of a way to start life, is it? Some of us would be completely overwhelmed if we could understand that as soon as we hit the face of this earth, we're doomed. But the sooner we realize that, then the sooner we can take advantage of what God indeed has blessed us with, because God has provided that we don't have to remain in that condition. Have you ever been around people who have been in an oppressed condition for so long they forgot what freedom even looks or smells like and they have no motivation to gain it? We see people all across our country who have become so impacted into the welfare community, they really have not got a sense of things improving. They don't believe it can be any better. They don't believe it can be any different. Indeed, they live every day thinking, "The only thing that's ever going to be good in my life is if somebody hands something to me and does it for me."
But God has provided a way of escape. We read in the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 24, these words. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And then we read in the second half of that passage in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. So also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. And in Romans 6:23, the latter half, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, we have hope. Somehow, some way, we have to get the message across to a lost and dying world that there is hope, that it can be different, that it can be better, that indeed, while we were under the penalty of sin, that in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, the shedding of His blood, that we have been offered the opportunity to experience freedom from that penalty, that we do not have to pay the price, that we do not have to suffer the consequence, that indeed we can get out of a devil's hell and go to Almighty God's heaven. We have freedom from the penalty of sin. God's love provides grace and mercy rather than the justice and judgment that we deserve. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Do you realize this morning that we have been so blessed for so long in so many ways that we can hear the news that we don't have to go to hell, that we can have Jesus in our heart and go to heaven, and we just all sit like that's just how it is. How many of you are glad you don't have to go to hell? Yeah, that's better. I'm thinking even though I've never been there, not scouted out the location, I don't even want to know what's going on down there other than what I read in the Word of God. That's a place I don't want to be. That is not my next vacation destination. There's lots of places I'd like to visit. There's some places I'd like to check out that I haven't been to. And I've been to some great places. When I was between fifth and sixth grade, my dad all of a sudden did something he had never done in his life, and he loaded us in a car, and for the next 11 days, we had the biggest old time, and we saw Mount Rushmore, and we saw Old Faithful and Yellowstone, and we saw the Grand Tetons, and we saw Grand Canyon, and we saw a Petrified Forest, and we saw my Uncle Clifford's house, and we saw, I mean, we just went all over the place. I don't care if I never see hell. I don't want to go there. There's still some places I want to go. I've never been to Hawaii. I'd like to go. My son moved to California. I've never set foot in the state of California, but I'm thinking awful heavy about it right now because I kind of like what might be there. But I don't have any desire to go check out hell. And I am so glad that the place that I deserve and the place that I was destined to, that because of Jesus Christ and His shed blood and because of the love of Almighty God, I don't have to go. God's got something better. And I have been able to escape the penalty of sin. I'm also glad this morning that when I accepted Jesus Christ and I was delivered from the penalty of sin, that I also began to experience freedom from the pain of sin. How many of you read the newspaper? How many of you watch the news on TV? How many of you just get sick of seeing all the stuff that goes on every day someplace? Don't you just get tired of people going around shooting other people? Don't you get tired of young men and women, 16, 17, 18 years, committing suicide or going and murdering their classmates in schools because life has reached a point where there's nothing to live for and all they feel is the pain of loneliness and their mind is not right, and we live in a world that's saturated with pornography and the abuse of children and kidnapping and indeed, you know, we sometimes read that stuff and it seems so far away. But even in my lifetime, as short as it's been, many, many years ago in this very community in 1969, a young lady by the name of Carol Blades disappeared. She was my cousin. Not far down 14 Highway, a few years later, there was a young lady named Kelly Workman who was abducted from a cemetery while she was mowing the cemetery. Kelly was my cousin. I get tired of that stuff. I'm tired of diseases. I hate cancer. I hate all these other diseases. We hear more about Lou Gehrig's disease and ALS than we've heard ever. There's just more and more people with it all the time. It seems like more and more people with cancer. Every time we turn around, somebody's got cancer. I'm tired of all of that. But here's what I know. In Jesus Christ, I have peace in the midst of that pain. I have hope that around the corner is a better day. I have the hope that even some of those people will be gloriously delivered. I would not have even brought up Loretta's name this morning if I didn't believe with all my heart that when we prayed that we very well could receive a report from Brother Pat before we ever get out of this service, that the hand of God came into that hospital room and that she's been touched and moving in a positive manner toward healing. I don't know for sure that that will happen, but I know it's certainly possible, and I'm glad that we've got the option. That we do not have to wake up every day and say, oh, woe is me, it's never going to get any better. It's always going to be bad like this. In Genesis chapter 3, we're told. Let me just back this thing up even further than what you've got in front of you there. But in verse 17, God spoke to Adam and said, cursed is the ground because of you. Because Adam and Eve sinned, we live under a curse. But we have hope. The Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And that perfect environment that God created for his people was forever closed. This side of heaven. That's why, indeed, he has given us a hope. I quoted that passage already in Matthew chapter 11, where he spoke to us about coming in our weary and heavy ladenness and finding rest and comfort. And I remind you that he tells us in John chapter 16 and verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then in verse 33, he goes on to say, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. How many of you have even heard at some point in time some guy preach and say, you know, when you get Jesus, you ain't going to have any trouble. You're going to have any problems. That is not what the Bible says. That would be a great storyline. But that is not what the book says. I mean, right here in red letters, Jesus spoke it himself. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace, but in this world you'll have trouble. You're going to have trouble in the world, but because you have Jesus, you have peace that overcomes what's going on in the world. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And I love the hope of this passage in Revelation chapter 21, the first four verses where it says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning,'" hallelujah, "or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Victory in Jesus. We can have peace over all the pain that sin has brought into this life and brought into this world. Not only can we enjoy, and do we enjoy as Christians, freedom from the penalty of sin and freedom from the pain of sin, but indeed we enjoy freedom from the power of sin. I am so glad that we believe that God did not say, "I came here just to let you wrestle around in your sin and I can't do anything about it." But I'm glad that He came to deliver us. Freedom is defined as not restricted, obstructed, fastened, or bound. And we all know that even when we confess our sin, that we go through a struggle, and that sometimes we end up being of an attitude and of a mindset that's different than what we'd really like to be. Well, Paul talked about that struggle in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. We find it defined this way in the Scripture, beginning at Romans 7:14. "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me." That's confusing to me. That's a lot of do's and not do's. But here's the deal. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But until we deal with the body of sin that's within us, there's going to be an internal motivation to continue to rebel. Sin is a twofold problem. And God indeed has provided a twofold answer. If we look into the passage of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 8, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just." And it's very important that you notice the difference between S-I-N, which is singular and represents the body of sin inside of us, and the word S-I-N-S, which is plural and represents the acts that come out of that motivation, out of that body that's within us. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." I am glad to know, and I am thankful to believe, and I am unashamedly passing on to you this morning that I do not believe that you have to be a victim and a slave to sin for the rest of your earthly life. Matter of fact, let me just turn you back to the book of John. How many of you believe that Jesus will enable you to do what He wants you to do? How many of you believe that God wants you to do stuff that you're never going to be able to do? Well, I'm convinced that whatever God prompts us to do, that He will equip us to be able to do.
There's a lot of things in our own power we will not do, but by the grace and the help of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live victoriously. I don't believe that God would have instructed people to do stuff that was impossible for them to do and create immense frustration and depression on their part. And I am reminded of two very distinct passages of Scripture in the book of John, in John chapter 5, where Jesus is speaking to this man. In verse 14, it says, later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning." Do you think he would say that if it wasn't possible? Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. He didn't say, "I wish you could do better." He didn't say, "Well, I prefer that you didn't sin, but you're going to have to." He looked this guy in the eye and said, "Stop sinning." And I just remind you, if you proceed on in his relationships with some other people and you get over in the 8th chapter of the book of John, you find in verses 10 and 11, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" This is a woman caught in adultery. "No one, sir," she said, and these are the words of Jesus. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Does that sound to you like, "Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed"? That is not what the man said. And the reason he didn't say that, the reason that he said, "Stop sinning and go and leave your life of sin," is because he knew he was going to get to the place where he died outside the city gate to make the people holy. Hebrews 13, 12. You know what the word holy means? To be without sin. This is not an impossibility. This is a full-blown reality. Aren't you glad God wants us to get better? What kind of a world would we live in if nobody could get any better? If nobody was going to quit being selfish? If nobody was going to think about anybody else? And there's a lot of people in this world like that. But there's a lot of those people who've died out, who've been crucified, who've accepted Jesus Christ and been filled with His Holy Spirit, and indeed they're doing their best with His help to follow His directions. In Romans chapter 6, in verses 6 and 7, we find this encouragement. "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with." Okay, we've had the acts of sin forgiven, but now He's ready to deal with the body of sin, and it can be done away with so that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. That's what we're celebrating, isn't it? Freedom. Freedom from the penalty, freedom from the pain, and freedom from the power of sin. We can indeed have a disposition and determination to obey God, to know the Word, and to do it. We can center our life around God and spiritual things. We can fellowship with God's people, and we can put ourselves in a position to make right choices, do right things, and go to bed at night without guilt, in peace, and doing our best to make the world a better place for our fellow man. We can have total and complete freedom from sin. We can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and His power for victorious living. The reason I know that, read Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." I like that old Albert E. Brumley song. "Once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free." Are you singing that song this morning? Do you really experience, are you really allowing God to give you power over sin in this life?
Now I'm climbing higher each day. Darkness of mine has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not all the world can turn me around. Daily I'm working and I'm praying too, and glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. If they can get pumped up about civil rights, we ought to be able to get pumped up about Jesus, can't we? We are free. Free at last. Well, here's something I've learned. I wish I could say I'd always made all the right decisions and done everything right. I've had to use that confession thing quite a bit. I've had to appreciate God's forgiveness quite a bit. Because here's what I've learned. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay if you give in to it. But glory to God, He set me free. Are you free this morning? Are you glad you're free this morning? Are you celebrating your freedom this morning? Because you can be. Because God will do the same thing for anybody who asks. He's no respecter of person. He plays no favorites. Every one of us who are willing to yield our lives and surrender to Him can indeed enjoy the freedom that He wants to give to us. Wouldn't you rather live free as bound? I remember several years ago when I was doing youth work, I was speaking at a gathering of the Joplin District NYI, and there were two brothers that were on the district at that point in time, the Peacock brothers. And one of the Peacock brothers was a great big offensive lineman football kind of guy. And the other was a smaller. And so I had the two Peacock brothers come up on the platform. I was preaching this message, not this particular message, but I was preaching a message. And I had them come up, and I had some sewing thread that my wife uses because she sews a lot, just regular old sewing thread. And I had that big old football boy roll that little thread out, and he got one strand of thread. I said, Chris, can you snap that thread? Boy, he snapped that thread. Wasn't anything to it. And I said, okay, Danny, I said, Chris, I want you to put your hands together like this and hold them like this. And I said, Danny, I want you to take that thread, and I want you to start wrapping it around his wrists. And you just keep wrapping until I tell you to quit. And he wrapped, and he wrapped, and he wrapped, and he wrapped. And Chris was like any other high school kid. He was pretty powerful and intimidating at that point in time. And his brother was like any other little brother who got beat up on all the time. And I said, okay, that's enough. And he had a pretty thick wad of thread wrapped around Chris's arms. And I said, now, Danny, I want you to take your finger like this. And I said, now, Chris, don't resist too much, you know. But I said, you try to break out of that string. He tried and he tried and he tried, and his hands turned purple and blue and every which color. And Danny just got him with one finger by that thread, and he started leading him around the sanctuary. It's just like grabbing a cow by a ring in her nose. And I said, that's exactly what sin will do to you. One sin at a time. Just keep wrapping it up until pretty soon you can't get away. You know, if we deal with sin when it happens, we deal with that sin, we confess that sin, it's like breaking a string of thread. God will give us forgiveness and grace, and we can put that behind us, and we can move on and learn from it. But if we keep denying that we're in sin, the old devil will just wrap us up, one sin after another, until he'll just lead us everywhere, even places we don't want to go. But I'm glad today that we don't have to be bound by sin. That we can experience freedom in Christ. Freedom from the penalty, freedom from the pain, and freedom from the power of sin. God wants to bless our lives. And today we celebrate that freedom. Stand with me this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. I just wonder if there's anyone here this morning who, for whatever reason, you've allowed maybe something to come back in your life and you're bound by that thing. Maybe there's some habit or vice that you need to get rid of, turn loose of, that indeed you need to claim victory over through the power of Jesus Christ. I believe that God is able to overcome anything that binds us. Anybody here like that this morning? No music playing, no created atmosphere, just honesty. God is able to help us. Anybody this morning who just needs a place to pray? What a wonderful thing it is that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Tonight we're going to gather together. You can come in your casual clothes. And if you don't care to sign up on the sheet out by the Welcome Center or the guest book, well, that'd be great. That'll kind of tell us how much to expect, how many people we might be thinking about having. But we're going to have just an ice cream social. We're not going to have a potluck or anything. But if you're not bringing ice cream, if you'll bring some desserts, we're just going to have some food together and some fellowship. We're going to serve communion. And we're just going to have a good time in the Lord. We'll have a brief devotional. And we're going to be in the presence and the Spirit of God together in fun and fellowship. And we'll have a great time. So we invite you to come back. 6 o'clock tonight. You get here a little before that. We'll try to have everything ready to go so we can get started right at 6 o'clock. So come a little before that. And we'll just have a good time together in the Lord this evening. So thank you so much for coming and being here. Enjoy your freedom in Christ. Don't let the devil bind you up. Don't let him defeat you. He's a liar and the father of lies. He wants to discourage you. He wants to distract you. He wants to deceive you. So just don't listen to him. Don't give him place in your life. And enjoy the freedoms that indeed God has blessed us with today. Good to have Dave and Becky Sutton with us this morning. Brother Dave, closing prayer for us, please.